I am unashamed. What about you?
So we got a couple of guests today. Jace is on assignment. He's out looking for new stories to tell. So we send him out.
New stories to tell.
Yeah, we send him out about once every couple of months just to discover some new stories he can tell on the podcast. Because Jace is never going to run out of stories, is he, Dad?
Ever.
I'll tell you what, he has the same ability as Uncle Si.
Well, he is Jason Silas Robertson, so it makes perfect
his
sense.
His storytelling is bar none. The greatest, well, other than Si, yeah. He's the greatest storyteller of all time.
Yeah, because it's a little thing with a nugget of truth in it, but yeah. When he tells it, because of course we got Stone and we got Matt Lida. So Stone, he you were telling us he told the story about the
Sandhill crane. Yeah.
So then you listened to it.
I listened to the story.
So give us now once everybody heard it, because it was Dad
now,
and
Stone. I know you're saying this about Si and Jace, but Jason's stories at least make a little more sense than Si's.
Well, yeah, he makes them more believable than Si does.
Si tends to go for the over the top supernatural esque type ending.
But they both have the same ability of storytelling.
Oh yeah. So when you told me, when you heard the story about Sandhill Crane, you said, well, that's not all the way it went down. But it was a great story. If Jace made it really
well,
good.
Well, nothing in there was a lie. It was just, he made it so elaborate that, I don't know. But
well, in the old days, Jace used to always go out of the blind on these Stilkin missions and all this stuff. And now that's more Jace's expertise. But he would come back, and so he'd be gone an hour, sometimes more. And we'd always say the same thing. Old Jace, he's got a story. He's just gonna have a story.
He'll have a story.
I mean, we always knew. And sure enough, he'd get in and say, well, boys, and here we go. He would tell this elaborate tale.
Oh, yeah. He was talking about how we had a conversation with the Sandhill Crane, back and forth. Well, I never heard the Sandhill Crane. He wasn't talking back. He was just flying around in a circle.
We heard him in Texas is where he got that. We heard him when they're flying over in Texas. And I said, But every once in a while now, they even show up here.
So, shocker, Jace was doing all the talking to the Sandhill
Crane. Well, actually, it was me. I just looked at him. And Jace looked at me, and evil eye, he started laughing,
Oh, that was when we talked about Evil Eye.
Yeah.
Which we tried to change his name to Wild Eye. Because Jace doesn't like the word evil in someone's nickname. So we held that.
I heard Stone call him that, but I didn't know what his name was.
Well,
who's that? And he said, that's Evil Eye.
Here's another elaborate story.
The truth of the matter is, last year was the first time Evil Eye showed up hunting with us.
Mm-hmm.
He came with Kyle Hughes, who's a friend of ours, who deals with Yamaha.
Yep.
So anyway, Evil Eye shows up and he's looking around. He's only got one eye. The other one's a glass eye. And Phil, we were trying to get in the blind, and Phil looked back there and says, Stone, get old Evil Eye in the blind down there. Make sure you don't poke that other eye out. And we laughed and carried on.
How did he lose that eye, by the way?
I forgot. He told me 100 times, but I forgot because but he laughs about that story, and he don't mind us calling him Evil Eye.
His name is Les, and he did listen to that episode and loved it, right?
Oh, he
because we talked about Jack Elam and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So Matt is in town. You actually, Matt works for a company called Nine Lines, which we've mentioned on podcast before. And I was trying to think, the first time I met you, Matt, we were our mutual friend Graham Allen. We were doing a show with him on Blaze, and so our production company was doing some pilots with him. And so it was Chad Prather and you and Graham.
Yeah. What you don't know about that, Al, is we're standing there getting ready to film that day, and me and Chad are standing beside each other, and you walked up and you said, hey, guys, I'm running over here to the convenience store. Said, y'all want anything to drink, snacks, whatever? And I said, yeah, I'll take an energy drink or something. And you went over to the store. I looked at Chad and I said, God, that guy looks familiar. Chad goes, I know, he sure does. I said, who is that? I said, how do I know him? I said, we must have run across at a trade show or something at some point. And Graham walks over there and he goes, y'all know who that is, right? I said, no, who is it, man? He goes, that's Alan Robertson from Duck Dynasty. And I go, what? He said, yeah. I looked at them and I said, boys, we have made it. And he goes, yeah. What do you mean? I said, we've got Duck Dynasty going to get us snacks.
We're going to get coffee.
Well, I said, that was pretty good.
So we were filming these pilots. And of course, it's kind of, we were just starting a production company. And I knew a lot about production from doing our duck call videos and me watching the production of our show. But I didn't know a lot about it. So we had Seth and a lot of the other guys there that kind of knew all the technical stuff. So I didn't, I was the boss there, but I didn't know what to do. So I was like, I can go get some coffee or what?
Yeah.
I mean, I was a little bit of everything.
I went viral on that, that episode too. And I didn't realize it. I woke up one morning, my phone blew up and I said, what in the world's going on? Everybody's texting me, you were on Fox News this morning. And I said, what? And I looked and Graham had done a session that morning and they had played the clip of me saying that parents need to whip their kids more at Walmart and they'd be a little bit better off in this world. And that apparently ruffled some feathers of some people. But for the most part, people agreed with it. And right. So, yeah.
It's biblical.
Oh, absolutely. Spare the rod, spoil the child. My daddy lived by that verse.
So did mine. Yeah. And I always say that, I never, now Jace would argue, of course, so I'll argue for him, I guess, since he's not here, that I never got one I didn't deserve. And Dad missed some opportunities where I deserved some. So, I mean, I was never treated unfairly. Everyone I got, I deserved them and missed a few more. But Jace, he's got a couple of tales of, was in.
They usually don't appreciate discipline until you have your own children.
Correct.
Then all of a sudden, the chickens come home to roost.
Yeah. Well, one of the best stories of all time was when Phil lined y'all up on that car and some old boy nobody knew got in there with y'all. And
he had his lined up light on the back of a big old.
I knew three out of four of them, but they had pulled a little teenage drunken spree the night before. And the parents of one of the guys said, I wish you could go down there and tear his butt up. And I said, so you don't mind me striking your child with a belt? They said, he needs it, but we're too afraid to try.
Oh,
I said, well, let's get down there and get him rounded up. Well, one guy just happened to be there with him. I said, son, they were going bending over the car. Three licks for everybody for getting drunk. And the last one walked up and looked at me. I said, I don't know who you are. I said, but you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Bending over that car.
Shockingly, he never came back.
No. 40 years later.
Then you lose friends.
I was up there, 40 years goes by, and this guy walks up and he said, Phil, you remember me? I said, everybody says that, I said, nah, your face kind of looked familiar. Who are you? He said, I was that fourth man in that butt whipping back there for you. He said, at the time, it made me mad. And he said, I tell you what, that old coot. He said, but 40 years later, I'm here to tell you, I needed more of that.
That's right. Yeah.
He said, but I'm on track now. I'm just letting you know, I'm back on track. And he said, there's sure no drunkenness. So 40 years later, he proved the correction right.
He was wound up in the Air Force, and the same thing happened to me. He came up to me, and I was looking at him, and that's a long time to go by.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were young. And
some things you remember.
We've never forgotten that. And he said the same thing. He said, you remember me? And I was like, you look super familiar. And he told me his name. And I was like, oh, dude, I hadn't seen you since we all got whipped on the back of the car. So that was the first lead in. And I said, what have you been doing? He said, well, I got into drugs and a lot of problems, after all that. And he said, then I got lined out, got in the Air Force. And, got his life lined out, which was really cool. But he was the same thing. He was appreciative.
Yeah, by the way, a guy showed up yesterday, and he is a member of the Air Force, and he's stationed at Barksdale, which is about 10 miles south of Dixie, where we spent about 10 or 12 years when I was being raised as a boy.
It's the old home place.
Yep. So, but he's stationed at Barksdale, but he came all the way over. He said, I want you to baptize me, Mr. Robinson. He said, I've been following your podcast and all that. I said, yeah, I'll do that.
That's good.
So that was a good deed. Yesterday, several more, but he was one of them.
Right.
Well, I think we all need to talk about what happened yesterday.
That's what I want to talk about. Because we set this up, I think, in the last podcast, one of the last couple of podcasts, we talked about the whole setup about the veteran hunt and how much we appreciate, getting to do that, where you get that extra day after season. So when typically there's a lot of ducks still around and we can't hunt anymore. So the authorities have allowed the veterans and the youth to have an extra day. So
by the way, that was the first time as a duck hunter over the last, 60 years, that's the first time I've ever seen that. give the veterans a duck hunt day.
Yeah.
So which, whoever pushed that through, Jay
said. Well, Jay claims he did it.
Yeah. By the way. Well, if he did, we appreciate it.
He said, I don't know. I don't know if it was my conversation with Don Jr. or not, but all I'm saying is we had the conversation and then it happened. So you put two and two together.
So how'd the hunt go, Stone?
Oh, well.
Tell us who all you had.
Okay.
Because, and you're probably going to have to explain. The Uncle Si. We haven't talked about Uncle Si's having COVID on the podcast, but I know y'all talked about it on your podcast.
Yeah.
So tell us the story.
So Si has been out of commission for about a month now. No duck hunting. And that man lives and breathes duck hunting. He loves it. Loves to have fun. So it's just killing him. He's stuck at home.
It really depressed
him. It depressed him. It almost killed him.
It did.
For about 3 or 4 days, I was worried that he didn't have the strength or the will to get out of bed.
Because he had come out of COVID. He'd been in the hospital for about 5 days. Yep. He was doing really good. Mm-hmm.
Too many Winstons earlier, so he had
bad lungs.
And he was struggling before COVID. Now, right. he would get winded just walking to the four-wheeler. And he told me, he said, Stone, I'm like that old Chris Stapleton song, I ain't got nobody to blame but me.
Something my preacher says. He goes, I don't know if smoking will send you to hell, but it might kill you a little earlier than what you're supposed to be.
Yeah. It'll send you somewhere quicker than you want to.
Yeah.
But then he said, hey, no regret, son. I'm ready to go. I said, I know it, but I ain't ready for you to go.
So but what's the other guy?
Philip McMillan.
Y'all got together and made sure he was being fed.
Yeah.
And he'd get on his medical regime, whatever they wanted him to do. How'd y'all, what'd y'all do? Just barge in there and
Philip moved in with him. I came once a day and brought him his lunch and made sure he took his medicine on his oxygen. Philip moved into him when things were looking their worst.
Yeah.
When things were looking bad, like he wasn't going to make it out of it. Philip moved in with him, made him eat, made him drink, made him take his medicine.
So Philip, for the audience, is Si's kind of right-hand man. He travels with him, sets up all of his appearances and stuff like that, and a wonderful guy. He's on Duck Dynasty. Like, he was the McMillan, the villain on Duck Dynasty.
And John and Paula Godwin came over and spent multiple hours making sure he knew how to operate his oxygen machine, and all that was because Paula's proficient with that.
Yeah, respiratory therapist.
And but anyways, we got him lined back out, and that sucker.
He made it.
Oh, he made it.
So this hunt, really, we were calling it because Jay had taken Si down south and whacked some blue-winged teal right before he got COVID, and then he got COVID. So then now we're all worried that was his last hunt. With this. So this veterans hunt turned out to be sort of the resurrection hunt for Si.
I said, at any time during your ailment with your bad lungs, did the resurrection cross your mind? He said, oh, it was right there. Right there.
Yeah, well, actually, when we went down south, he had it when I picked him up.
Yeah.
He'd already had, because I could tell something wasn't right. He was peaking, you know.
Yeah.
And he wasn't laughing and carrying on like he normally does. He's just sitting there. But he was going to go teal hunting.
Yeah,
he was gonna go. I said, "Si, we can stay here." He said, "No, let's go." And he stand up, bop bop bop, sit back down. He'd stand up, bop bop bop, sit back down. It wasn't none of that. I was 3 for 3, 4 for 3, like he normally does.
You know what it was? It was just like me when I had my ruptured appendix and went hunting that time before I had to go get fixed. I was like, I couldn't even shoot. I just sat there. And Jeff said, "Dad, Al's not looking too good. He's kind of gray." And Dad said, what time is it? Somebody said 9:30. He said, let's get him to 11. Then we'll get away out of here.
I didn't know your appendix had blown up.
I was dying, but you know, other than hang on, Dad. Let's take a break. So, Lida, have you ever done these Ancestry DNA? Have you ever tried to check out who you're
about? I've been thinking about it, but I'm gonna be honest with you. Uncovering the past can sometimes
tell me about
uproot the present.
So, I've done a little Ancestry DNA.
Oh, I've heard.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. I mean, our family.
You're
was,
who? I'm yours. I'm like, okay.
Our family was hugely impacted by Ancestry.com. Ancestrydna.com.
Were y'all sponsored by them before?
You know, I don't think we were. You know, maybe it's because
y'all are the poster children now of Ancestry.com.
And Ancestry.com, where the chickens come
home to roost.
That's right. So in our case, it really worked out great. We found out we had a sister, which is a very interesting story. You can see more on the podcast. So if you, you know, obviously you may not have find out you have a sibling or a son or a daughter, but it is pretty interesting to find out your background, your heritage, and all these different things like this. So if you'd like to check these guys out, start exploring your family story today. You head to Ancestry.com/Phil, Ancestry.com/Phil, to get your Ancestry DNA kit and start your free trial. That's Ancestry.com/Phil.
Well, you know, Si had a heart attack in the blind, and
about 10 years ago,
same thing happened. You know, he's just kind of laying there, and somebody said, Si, well, you all right? He's like, no. And somebody said, well, we need to get Si to the bank. Phil's like, what time is it?
Trust me, you don't want to come down with anything in the blind. Not your best.
Si and that dog had a heart attack on the same hunt. Remember, Jace went after that crippled mallard drake, mm-hmm. and that dog tried to keep up with Jace. And about 10 minutes later, we heard.
Vegas,
oh,
dog.
Yeah. We heard. It was that dog.
She was just up in between some privets.
Yeah.
That's a tree. And she was just sitting there, and I thought she had made it right there as far as she goes. She never got over. That was it.
Mm-mm. Wow.
You had a heart attack.
I didn't realize that was
heart attack.
Yep. Her and Si had one the same day.
It was a rough morning of wading, falling. Yeah.
It was rough.
All right, so tell the story of the hunt. Of course, Si was on the hunt.
So this is Si's first hunt back.
Yep.
Since COVID. We had Matt, his brother, JR, who was fixing to retire from the Air Force.
30 years. And I have to admit, when I saw him, because I was looking at John, which you'll describe him, and I thought, well, that must be his brother, because he looked like he was your age. Like, I was looking for, like, the older, 10-year-older brother.
That's what the Air Force does for you. 30 years in the Air Force is like a couple of years in the Army. Yeah. Stone will tell you.
Not a lot of stress. Yeah. You go through the Air Force encampment, you're looking around, you know, everything's... You know, looks like this.
Well, I told you, I said, when did you go in when you were 14? He said, well, 17.
Yeah. I think my parents had a sign or something like that.
So anyway, we had JR, then we had two of my buddies that served with me in Afghanistan, Mikey Pierce and Daniel Freeland. And awesome guys. Love to have a good time.
Didn't you have a major in the Marine Corps?
And lastly, we had the major.
Old John.
And look, he's square-jawed, wild-eyed, had a big cigar in his mouth when I saw him.
He's sitting there the whole time just with a cigar in his mouth and that blind.
Oh, he looked like the kind of guy you still wouldn't want to mess with.
No, sir.
He's got a heart of gold. And he prayed over the second hunt, wasn't it, or something like that? Yeah.
He asked me to pray for the second hunt.
Yeah, the first hunt he prayed over.
Yeah.
Like that.
Nobody got hurt. Of course, there was shotgun barrels waving around, you know. But we had a huge time. Yesterday's duck hunting weather was terrible. Cloudy, no wind.
Still.
Everything's real loud, you know, so it's hard to get ducks to decoy. Yep. In weather like that.
I got ready to persecute the brothers where I was meeting on the Sunday morning.
And you should have been down there at that blind.
I walked out there and I sat down on the porch. I sat down on the steps on the porch. I'm just sitting there drinking coffee. And Miss Kay said, what are you doing? We're fixing to leave in about 15 minutes. I said, I'm listening for gunfire over on the privet hole. I said, I just heard a round. I said, they killed a few ducks there. Because our count was about 787.
We talked about that, which we'll talk about that.
So I said, you boys might push us over the 800 mark. Well, they before the smoke cleared, how many did y'all end up with?
35.
Ooh, you got 13 and many to spare.
Oh, yeah, we got them. All right. But the morning hunt was pretty slow. They would kill 10. So we needed 36 to get our limit for the day. So we came in, had a lunch. Phil cooked us some of his famous fried burgers.
Hey, what about that?
Let me tell you something. Those burgers were talked about the entire time we were in the blind. You know, I was I did the right. My mama raised me right, so I didn't eat too much. Yeah. You know, I only had four of them. Every time Phil would make them, I'd look around. If nobody was in line, I'd just walk over and get me another one.
I got four ahead of them, and I said, all you can eat, when you get tired of eating, we shut it down. Let's go to the meat runs out or y'all run out. So I'm cooking four at a time. You know, we got a smoke going in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a haze when he cooks it. Yeah. There's something about the, I mean, they're smaller, but they got that char on the outside of them. I mean, it's a really
good. I'm going to be honest with you. I eat a lot. I love food. And I tried to just be a good Christian yesterday. If you'd have kept cooking them things, Phil, I'd have kept eating them.
I think the record is seven, I heard, but I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I could have put that. I could have put that in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, somebody said, no cheese on mine. I said, I got you. I
just, that was my brother.
That's the cheese off of them. You know what I mean? We just, and I mean, they were, go up from here to here. I'm like, they just kept going to finally they just like, whoo.
Well, the funny thing was we got in there and Stone cut up everything and got all the fixings ready and the meat's just sitting there. And two different times, somebody said, well, do you want us to go ahead and put the patties together? Stone goes, oh, no. He said, if you do that,
anything.
He said, Phil won't like that. And we were hungry, though.
That was the major.
Oh, yeah.
The major.
Yeah.
I could tell he was struggling a little bit because I know he's used to being in charge. When he got in that duck blind and I gave everybody the run through, here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to call the shot. Y'all just get under the roof and be still. I'll let you know when they coming. You know, he's looking down there at me. I could tell he did not like taking orders from a corporal. He didn't like that.
He had a couple of good shots.
I'll tell you one thing. He was on point. He's ready to go. Yeah. Him and Si both. They were the elders in the blind. Yeah. Of course, Si was down there on your corner.
He never misses.
He never. So, Si. Hey,
you know what? This is what I learned on this duck hunt. Okay? That's what I learned. Si and I, we are a lot more alike than we are different. We have an older brother that gets on to us about everything and tells us we ain't never shot anything. And I've gone on a couple of hunts with my brother now, and apparently I ain't never hit a bird, according to him.
That's it.
But old John there beside me, John was like, man, a pretty good shot, man. I said, thank you. And there was one time where I pop up. I'm the only one that shot. Duck falls. John looked at me and said, good job. My brother's on the other side. He goes, good shot, Si. Si didn't even pull the trigger. Si goes, thanks, JR. I said, Si, I thought you were on my side, man. I said, you didn't even pull the triggers. No, that was mine.
Oh, yeah.
So you mentioned older brother. So I just thought of something when Si was in the worst of the COVID deal. So you were really worried about Si,
yeah.
And so you called Dad.
Well, actually, I talked to Jace first, and I told him, man, he don't have the will to do anything. He's just laying there.
Yeah.
He said, Phil's the one that got him to quit smoking cigarettes. Maybe you can get Phil to call him, motivate him. I don't know. It's worth a shot. So I called Phil. I said, Phil, I said, me and Jace think you need to call Si and try to motivate him to eat and drink, take his medicine. He said, Phil said, that's against the code. I said, do what? He said, the Robertson men have a code. You don't ever tell your brother or cousin or anybody what they should be doing. That's the code. I'm like, hey, then Phil said, well, I think it's time we broke the code. What's his number?
And what did you tell him when you called him? I've never asked
I basically
you.
Said, Si, the word is unless you at least make an attempt to get up and move around a little bit and start eating. I said, you quit eating and you're just lying on your bed staring at the ceiling. I said, I know it's rough from what I hear. I said, he said, I'm too tired to get up and walk around. I said, this is the time you just got to suck it up and get up. And they said if you start moving around a little bit, I mean, your lungs in pretty bad shape anyway.
Right.
I'm just saying, I was trying to be easy with him, not barking at him like a brother does. So I just said, so I'm just telling you, have I ever called you and told you something like this? He says, no, you ain't never called. I said, well.
I'm breaking the code.
Call it now. I said, I'm just telling you, man. It's a bad disease. I said, we've been praying for you. I think the Almighty will bring you through it. I said, you got divine help here. And that's when I said, is the resurrection during all this looming bigger all the time? He said, oh, it's right in my face.
Well, what I didn't realize.
He was prepared to move on.
I think he was.
It really was.
When Stone told me that, I realized, Matt, that I didn't realize, nobody told me there was that code. I mean, it wasn't like written down anywhere, but I started thinking about it though. Well, you know, I've been living by the same code because I don't call up my brothers and tell them.
It's a natural thing because that banter between, especially between brothers, is something else. And I've got a sister as well. And until my brother's able to grow a beard, I've got two sisters. And, you know, in that blind yesterday, I love giving my brother a hard time. He loves giving me a hard time. I looked over at Si, and he's sitting right to the left of me. My brother's, we got John in between me and him. And I said, Si, it was kind of quiet. I said, outside of my brother, who's the worst hunter you've ever hunted with? Si just kind of laughs. Everybody in the blind laughs, and it gets quiet again. He goes, probably you, Matt. And I go, come on, man. And my brother just, he ate that one up.
He was playing along. Let's take another break. When you guys were in the duck blind, all you veterans, did the subject of men's underwear ever come up in the top?
Never.
Now, you know,
I've heard very little about men's underwear.
Yeah, it was
the last 50 years.
No, that really didn't get brought up.
So this is one of my favorite sponsors because I was wearing Tommy John underwear long before they became one of our sponsors. So when they told us they were considering it, I was like, yes, and send all the samples to me. So Jace was like, oh, what are you talking about? It underwear. I said, these underwear are going to change your life, Jace. And he's like, oh, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. So we get the samples in. I give it to Jace. Next time we talk about Tommy John, I said, Jace? He said, you're right. Which you rarely hear Jace ever say, right? And he was right about them. They're really great. They don't ride up like underwear do, which is why I like them. So, but again, men never sit around and talk about underwear. I never knew Dad was still wearing tidy whities till he stepped out in the hall.
Think this company gave me some, but somebody stole them before I wear them.
Man, barely stole them.
They disappeared.
I will find you some more, Dad, so you can try them. So anyway, you want to check out Tommy John underwear. I love them. I swear by them. For a limited time, you go to TommyJohn.com/Phil. You get $20 off anything on the site. So that's really awesome. So you go right now. Last year, everything sold out, they said, in 5 days. So, you know, Valentine's Day, I guess. TommyJohn.com/Phil and find out how to save you some money and get some great underwear.
Well, Si had figured out, let's see, God has rescued, alienated from God at one time. We were all his enemies in our mind because of our evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. That's what Jesus did, without blemish, free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and here's what Osiris said, here's what I'm standing on, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. So the difference between a son of God, as Si is, and the rest of the world, he has hope, and he knows it. Because you think about it, physical death may come early, may come late, but it's coming. So the bottom line is, when Jesus conquered it for us, that was a big event. Big event.
And one thing that got to me, when one day when I was over there, when he was pretty bad off, he looked up at me. He said, you don't have to keep me alive. And I looked at him. I said, I know I don't have to, but I want to. I said, will you let me? He said, I reckon. So that to me stood out more than anything. He said, you don't have to keep me alive. And the look in his eye, it was like, there's no fear, no fear of death.
There is not.
Well, I tell you what, what he did yesterday and what you did in this whole veterans hunt. I mean, those, the stories, I mean, you know, all those guys that were sitting there, they've seen him on TV and, you know, probably fans and everything else of him, but him telling those stories about being in the military and everything, those are going to be stories and memories that those guys and myself are going to pass along for forever with him. And to be able to sit in a duck blind with, you know, what people consider the, you know, literally a duck dynasty with the Robertson family, and to be able to sit in there with him and do that hunt, it's going to be more appreciated than he probably will ever, he'll ever know.
Well, let's remember, my man, we were more than happy to honor y'all serving your country, you know, and serving God too. it all come together, eat good meals, stay in a duck blind. It was a great way to.
Well, I noticed that whenever, I mean, we have a lot of people at our house all the time, entertaining people, hospitality. Jay's usually cooking, and we have a good time visiting. Sometimes a spiritual conversation, sometimes just laughing. But I noticed with Jay, when a group of veterans come in, it's a little different thing with them.
Yep.
There's kind of a, and I want y'all to talk about that.
Kind of a camaraderie.
Yeah, the band of brothers kind of mindset. Because I know, and especially if you guys get to talking about things you experience and things like that, that I guess other people, and I like just listening, because a lot of times it's just, you know, I'm just kind of on the outside listening, looking in, but really intrigued by that.
Something to think about. Jay and I were in Iraq. You were in Iraq in 03, or Afghanistan?
No, Afghanistan.
He was in Afghanistan in 03. I was in Iraq in 03. So I was part of the invasion. He's over in Afghanistan. We're both, at that time, in theater, fighting the enemy, away from our families. We have no idea who each other are at that point.
Right.
Almost 20 years later, we're sitting here being able to share stories, being able to share our love of God, family, hunting, the outdoors, right, all of those things, right? And we have now, both of us, with me working at Nine Line and him being part of this mess you guys got going over here in North Louisiana, we have a platform that I believe God gave us to be able to share the word with other veterans.
Right.
That if you aren't a veteran, it's hard to have those conversations.
Right.
You know, even if you're Alan Robertson, even if you're Phil Robertson, you've never experienced what Stone and I and those men that sat there and ate them cheeseburgers yesterday
we
had to go through.
We hunt ducks, and we're not hunted by men, life and death. No, yeah. That's a whole different
ballgame. Well, I told Stone, we came through a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, man, I said, I know you guys always got people in the blinds. I said, I got a couple of guys, and you came over, and you know, one of the guys, my buddy Zach, that works with us, and I said, you know, these guys, they've never duck hunted. I said, one of them's hunted for men, but they've never hunted for ducks. Yeah. And you know, we weren't fishermen of men back then, but it's a band of brothers that no matter what, you know, getting on to my brother about being in the Air Force, what he's been able to accomplish in 30 years is very prideful. You know, we are so proud of him in our home. I will never tell that to him to his face, but when he listens to this, but what Stone did this weekend, when this man married into this family, there was an upgrade.
Yep.
He brought value.
Yep.
And I would never tell him that outside of being behind this microphone.
We couldn't really appreciate his particular skill sets until he got inside the family.
That's right.
Then he just kind of bloomed.
Yeah.
He's blossomed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for what he and I have experienced and gone through and done, and didn't know each other at the time, you know, those stories we get to share together and that camaraderie and that brotherhood without ever even really talking about it a lot. Just kind of, you just kind of know.
Well, Matt, tell Phil what the major does.
Oh, so John is, like I was saying earlier, he's got a heart of gold, but he runs Camp Valor Outdoors up in Missouri. And what he does is he takes veterans, disabled veterans, folks that are dealing with PTSD and whatnot, takes them on hunts. And he has...
Oh, so he does what he did here. I mean...
pretty much what Stone put together.
I got you.
Yeah, he does that for other veterans. So, and John's passionate about it. And, you know, I told him last night, I said, man, we're gonna get you connected with Duck Commander, because he also finds veterans that, let's say they're passionate about duck hunting. He will go and purchase out of his own pocket duck calls for them, gets them lined up with someone that can teach them how to blow. And John's a pretty good blower, too, I think. I don't know anything.
He's average.
Yeah. Around y'all, he's average. Yeah. Around normal people, he's good. But he...
don't say that on there. You'll get that major off.
He's going to come down here.
Average.
Oh, he cut them eyes at me. He said, you want me to bring my duck calls? I said, you leave them in your bag.
He
looked at me.
he takes veterans hunting and gets them lined up to where they can learn how to blow duck calls and, you know, just learn the educational part of what you do when you're out there. And he's passionate about that.
Yeah.
And my brother is working with him now. My brother's about to retire in May, and he's going to do a lot with Camp Valor Outdoors as well. And, but John, John's a good old boy. He's a good guy. He's got a big heart and loves this country, loves our veterans. Mm-hmm. He was enlisted, and then about 12, 13 years in, he decided to go become an officer. He wanted to make a little bit of money, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, two Marines came last year, and Stone shot a deer, and them dudes, they tracked the deer, the blood trail, in about waist-deep water.
Yep.
I mean, they went through water and found the thing. But, but the Marine was the one to come up with him. I mean, just a tip of his horn sticking out. He
tripped
went
over.
Down in the water. Yeah,
there wasn't nothing sticking out.
Hang on, Jay. Let's take another break. So I never got to look. Your brother was here. He had a hat on the whole time. Is he got all his hair?
Or struggling. It is.
I figured since he never took his hat off, maybe he was.
It's running down his back.
So we've got one of our long-term sponsors been with us from the very beginning. Maybe we need to guide him, JR, to keeps.com.
Do they have a military discount?
He may
need it.
They may. So you go and check these guys out. They're going to help you. Now, the problem is that once you're losing it, they can't put it back. So you got to get to them pretty quick, before you lose all your hair.
I think the ship has sailed.
He may be too late. But for those of you guys out there losing your hair, you want to hang on to it, you go to keeps.com, KEEPS.com/door. You're going to get 50% off your first order for hair loss treatment. So that's keeps.com/door, and try to hang on to your hair before it's
all. If you have teenage daughters, you start right now.
Right now.
Before it starts coming out.
Is that what you got, Stone? No. Running it through your hair.
You better go quick, Stone. Keeps.com.
So the Marine, I shoot this 10-point. I've been hunting all year. He's a 7-year-old 10-point, old as the hills. I shoot him. I thought I made a good shot, probably a long shot. Well, he runs off in that sloop. So I find one speck of blood 20 yards from it. So I can't find him. So I come back to the house. Well, there's two Marines staying in the lodge up here. So I knock on the door, and Matthew opens the door. One of the Marines, he said, "Yep." I said, "You boys good blood trailers?" He said, "We're Marines."
Sounds like a Marine.
So he got his boy, who was about 10.
Like, what a
10.
Dumb question.
Yeah. His boy was about 10. He had him, or 12, had him with him. And then the other Marine, both of them, I'm talking about hardcore devil dogs now.
Yeah.
They're that's the boys. So I bring them in a four-wheeler. He said, "All right, where's first blood?" I said, "First blood's right here." He said, "Stand right there." Told his boy, "Stand right there." He said, "Where's second blood?" I said, "Say, right up here, 20 yards. So he said, "You stand right there." So now we got a line going, straight line. First blood, second blood. He's wading out there in waist-deep water. He said, "I got blood right here." I walk over there. There's a log about this long and about that big around. And there's just a little streak of blood where that deer had jumped over that log. He said, "Somebody stand right here." So we had three men in a row. He takes off walking. It's pitch black dark. It wasn't 20 seconds. He picked that deer's head out of the water. He says, "Is this the one you shot?"
Like, maybe this one drowned. We don't know.
I see. Yep, that's him.
But you know, that's the thing is, when you get a bunch of veterans together, those are
pretty good retrieve.
We love things like that because, you know, you don't get that in normal.
And not
normal
only that,
days.
We get him back to the lair up here. I hang him up. I'm a pretty good deer skinner, you know. And he's watching me, and he said, "Get out of the way." He whipped out this knife, and within 5 minutes, that deer was skint and quartered, gutted and quartered, and in the ice chest. Well, I would say 7 to 8 minutes. I've never seen nothing like it. That hide come off that deer so fast. And I've been keeping in touch with him a little bit since then. I tried to get him to come to the veterans hunt, but he was busy. He's still active, by the way.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So he's still busy.
He's busy.
Yeah. Doing his thing.
Doing his thing.
So one of the things that's really neat about the podcast is we get different, you know, organizations that'll sponsor or have ads and stuff on here. And Jay's wearing his Black Rifle coffee t-shirt. They're one of the ones because they're a veteran-owned company. That's what we drink on the podcast. So Nine Lines is another interesting story. Tell our audience a little bit about kind of how that came to be and what you do for them.
So we're a veteran-owned and operated apparel company, patriotic apparel, things that, you know, It hurts some people's feelings, the things that we put on T-shirts, you know, and it was kind of crazy. Phil, I brought you a shirt that I felt like probably two of them that I think fit you perfectly. One is Don't Tread on Me. And the other one is Family, Faith, Friends, Flag, Firearms, Five Things You Don't Mess With.
I like it.
And that shirt's pretty much the mantra and the motto of Nine Line Apparel.
Yeah,
and
this just from where you started with your speech, this doesn't sound woke.
we're far from woke. Our owner, Tyler, is definitely not woke. He's a former 160th helicopter pilot. The 160th, they are a special operations helicopter company. So if you watch any movies where they're taking Navy SEALs in and stuff, that's the 160th.
Yeah.
Which
is kind of the logo, right?
So it's a Black Hawk.
Right.
And if you look on the logo, there's a little, on the helicopter, there's a little prong that sticks out. And that is very, that is 160th.
Right.
They have that. So, Tyler, you know, was in the military. He's a West Point graduate, one of the smartest guys you'll ever meet in your life. Huge fan of Uncle Si. And Tyler is not a hunter. He's not that's not his thing. But he loves Uncle Si. And his father reminds us a lot of Uncle Si. He's the Uncle Si of Nine Line. So Tyler was in the military and said, man, these shirts just aren't great. All of our morale shirts and company shirts are always garbage. They were never good. And Tyler said, I could do better than this. And he went to work and bought some heat pressing machines and stuff like that and did it in his garage. Just started the company there, him and his family, and just making shirts for everybody. And he's getting deployed, and he's got friends and family back home that are shipping everything orders out of the garage and
this
all that stuff.
The Duck Commander story.
Capitalism at its best.
Yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah. And he's selling furniture and selling cars, and he's eating ramen and all those things, right? He's going on deployment so he can make a little extra money while he's on a deployment to be able to pay for things. And then before you know it, we got big time and was able to move into a 5,000 square foot building. And that was going to be the home. And Tyler's at this point at West Point as an instructor. And that's about the time I came along to the company. And I always say, I was the one that took us to the next level.
So if someone wants to order something, what do they do?
They go to, you can go to ninelineapparel.com. And we're inside of Cabela's and all that stuff. And I think we got a little coupon code for everybody that's listening here.
Duck 25.
Duck 25.
They get 25% off.
Save you some money. There you go. Yeah.
But Tyler, from there, we moved into a building that was beside us, made it 10,000 square feet. And I came along and I remember the first conversation I had. They said, what are you going to do to change the sales team? And I'm sitting there with his brother who was working for the company at the time. And it was early in the morning. There was nobody there. I said, I'm going to take about 30 days, figure out what's going on with the folks. I said, but overall, I said, the Lord told me that if I tithe, he's going to bless me 100-fold. I said, now I get paid off of commissions here. I said, so the only way I can get 100-fold, is if the sales go up. And I said, and when the sales go up, my 10th goes up. And I said, and to get 100-fold off of that, sales have to go up again. And, ever since then, the Lord has blessed us. We're in a 60,000 square foot facility now, 400 acres, blowing up stuff, acting like a bunch of fools. We've got about 250 people work for us. We've built 6 fully handicap accessible homes for disabled veterans. We built a tiny home village for homeless veterans.
It's a great work.
Yep. Oh, and we're awesome. Doing a second village right now for tiny homes. Stone has, every time we've done a fundraiser, has always sent us duck calls that are autographed and everything else for us. And, been able to auction them off and raffle them off.
That's
grab one of those shirts.
Adhering to the two greatest commands in the Bible, love God and love your neighbor.
That's right.
You guys got it down.
They got it down. And the good thing
work,
about it,
Carolina.
When you support these guys, obviously, here's one of the shirts I wanted to show, because a lot of people watch this on YouTube. So that was the one he was mentioning. You see that on the back. And then I love this.
How are they in the mud?
Oh, I think you'll test that out and let us know. Give us a full report back.
They feel like it's white T-shirts, by the way.
Yeah, because the mud doesn't show up on white T-shirts.
Yeah.
Let's take one.
I'll send you a few of them.
Let's take one last break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Yeah, so obviously, so
what's like a dress T-shirt for me?
Yeah, that's a church going shirt.
That's one you'll wear to church.
So my
Sunday meeting.
So my pastor,
look, you see this thing right here?
Oh, that's a good look. I got some hoodies.
I don't want to scare anybody. Yeah. That's never been washed, and I've had this a decade. So I just hang it up, let it air dry. It smells as fresh.
So talk about blowing stuff up at where y'all work. You blow so we got to finish the story of the duck hunt before you move on. So we had a slow morning yesterday morning, and weather was terrible. But the farmer next door had some water holding because the river's up, and there was a pile of ducks over there. And I kept telling him, I said, boys, them ducks are right over there. They'll get up and move sometime or another. I said, we just got to be here when it happens, you know. And because we're not seeing nothing in the air. I mean, it's nothing. So the major looks down there and said, Brother Stone, say us a prayer to keep us safe in the hunt. I said, yes, sir. So I said a prayer, said amen, and I'm not kidding you.
About that time.
What, 2 minutes after I said amen, you talking about rednecks blowing stuff up.
Things started booming.
Boom, you know, the earth shook. Them rednecks up the hill started shooting tannerite. And they do that about once a week. And when that tannerite blew up,
boy, the heavens descended.
Here come the ducks. I mean, the sky turned to ducks. I said, good night. I said, all right, boys, get down.
So
get ready.
For the first time ever, the crazy rednecks out here actually helped out.
It actually paid off.
Usually when they do that during duck season, it runs everything off.
Right.
We don't like it when they do that.
That's right. But there's nothing we can do about it. It's their property.
Yeah,
you can shoot tannerite. It's America. So when that tannerite blew up, them ducks got up off that backwater, and the sky turned to ducks, and we raised up, bum, 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 bum. Uncle Si was down there, bum, 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 4 for 3, bum, 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 4 for 3.
Oh, them green wing teal came in, and boy, he was right to the left of me. He goes, oh, this is what I've been waiting on.
Oh, yeah. Si's been waiting on the green wing teal for 10 years.
Caught it the last day.
The resurrection hunt.
The resurrection hunt. That's right. So we piled up them green wings. I think we ended up with, it happened fast. I think we ended up with 25. So we had 35 for the day. I think we were 7 shy of full limits.
Yeah.
And boy, Uncle Si looked down there, he said, boys, I shot 74 times. he brought 3 boxes of shells. He had 1 shell left.
He goes, it's been a good hunt, Matt.
That's the ultimate hunt. All right, we only got a few minutes left, Matt. So I want to, you know, as you know, because you've listened to the podcast, we obviously it's a spiritual, biblical contest. In the last few minutes we have here, give us a quick version of your testimony. I mean, I know you and I have talked a lot about it, kind of how you made some life change and kind of what that's meant to you.
So I told y'all beforehand, I was saved during my mother's first trimester with me. We went to church 8 days a week. You know, I love her to death. And, you know, I'd come in trouble and daddy met me with a belt and mama met me with the Bible. And this is actually my mother's Bible. And she gave this to my wife a few years ago. And it means probably, if my house is burning, there's about 3 things I'm getting, and this is one of them.
That's why it's called Bible Belt.
Yes, yes. And the tear stains in this Bible are the reason I'm sitting here today, because I joined the Army and got away from mom and daddy and, you know, got away from this book and, you know, went into the world and came home from Iraq. And I thought to myself, well, if I made it out of that, I'm just going to live my life however I want to. And, you know, my wife and I were married, and about 5 years in our marriage, you know, she told me, she goes, I think you need to go somewhere else. And I went and, you know, slept on a couch and came home about a week later. And I said, well, you might not like me, but I think you love me still. And I said, we're going to work on this. I said, everybody that's, I know this guy in divorce said that they did everything they could, but they really didn't. Yeah. I said, I'm going to. And for 9 months, we fought every day. But I was going to church. She wouldn't go to church with me. You know, I quit running around, quit drinking, quit going out. I said, I'm just going to be at home. I'm going to study this, and I'm going to pray. And about 9 months after that, she decided to start coming to church with me. Our life completely changed. And if that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't be here today. Right. I was, you know, just living, you know, a horrible life and a life of sin. And now the Lord is, when I came to Nine Line, my pastor looked at me and I said, I got two jobs. I said, there's one selling concrete and one selling T-shirts. I said, I don't know anything about T-shirts. I said, but I know a lot about concrete. I grew up around construction workers. And last night, I looked at my brother, and my brother's a big duck hunter. I looked at him, I said, boy, I'm glad I didn't take that concrete job. And he said, and the pastor looked at me and said, I don't know about this apparel thing. He said, but you ain't going there to sell T-shirts. He said, you're doing other things. And in that journey, I've sat in front of more celebrities and athletes than I would have ever thought in my life. And every time, some way, somehow, I've been able to share my relationship with Christ, the Word of God, with every one of them. And, you know, in my way, you know, I've sat down at, you know, at dinner tables and they go to order drinks. Everybody's ordering drinks. I'm ordering water. Why do you order water? That's my opening to be able to have that conversation.
Yep.
That's my ability to give my testimony. And because of that, you know, that's the reason I'm here. It's the reason my wife and I are in the, you know, the situation that we're in now. And I was reading this morning, sitting out here, you know, I did a little prayer and a little bit of reading. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I believe that this verse is great for anyone that's in the military dealing with PTSD, dealing with any struggles. It says, and this is the New Living Version, it says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. So whoever is suffering right now in this, in whatever relationship you have or with PTSD or in your marriage or whatever, just remember that you can get through that and the glory that we will get on the other side and here on earth. Once you accept him, the joy and the peace and the love that you have is completely different than anything you'll ever experience. And that verse just really stood out to me this morning when I was reading. And it kind of hit me on that.
That's good. And you're right, because we've got a lot of vets that listen to the podcast, and I get a lot of emails from guys that struggle with just what you said.
Yeah. So, and the thing is I didn't go down into an altar at a church.
Right.
I was in the back of a potato chip truck working for Frito-Lay in the parking lot of a Dollar General in Statesboro, Georgia, and I fell on my knees, and I said, Lord, I can't do this alone. My marriage is falling apart. I'm falling apart. I don't know what to do. You know, Romans chapter 7 on my chalkboard. And, you know, later on in here, because it's talking about it, even when I don't want to do sin, I continue to do it. But it says, oh, what a you know, in chapter 7, verse 24, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin?
Yep.
And in verse 25, it says, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that is the answer to all problems. And every veteran that's out there, you know, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're dealing with, the answer is in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, look, thank you, Matt and Jay, for your service, and all the all our vets out there listening to us. Man, that was a quick podcast for us. So anytime you're through, Matt, always we enjoy having you.
Yeah.
So maybe we get you back on again sometime.
Oh,
I didn't get to talk about Carl Malone.
We thank you guys. We really do for your service. We really do.
Yeah. We'll see you next time on Unashamed.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.